This is Wake Up Call,
another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
All right, good morning. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. Glad you could be with us. So, we've been talking a lot about different sports and them coming back in some capacity. We're seeing it with NASCAR. There's another race tonight at Darlington. We're starting to see sports try to implement something or kind of get a plan in place. But, you know, what about college football, right? Like, we've seen states say to pro teams, if you're looking to play, you know, here's a state you can come and play. And then other states are saying, oh, no, you don't need to leave. We'll be opening up. But what about college athletics? What about the state of college sports? Well, there's some good news and there's some not so good news. Well, the good news is that there are conferences that are starting to look about, can we let athletes come to campus and voluntarily work out? We're going to see a vote on that later this week. The SEC is talking to health officials, for example. Their university presidents are going to be voting at the end of this week whether or not June 1st students can go to the campus to work out voluntarily, but at least the campus and the facilities will be open to them. Right now, they're not. The Big 12 wants to follow suit. Bob Bowlesby of the Big 12 said yesterday that, you know, the sport, we need to get up and running very soon if we're going to have college football starting on August 28th or August 29th. There is a lot of concern that the clock is ticking on getting some sort of college football season organized. You've got to have about 4 to 6 weeks, much like what the NFL is dealing with. But they're not even at a point where facilities are open. The NFL is starting to open up some facilities. But there are some bad news. If you look at college football and say, oh, the only thing I care about is college football, okay, fine, I can buy that. But we're also starting to see the outright cancellation of sports for other programs within the university. Furman, for example, canceled baseball. Track at Central Michigan is down. Budgets are already being analyzed for 2020 and 2021, and some sports are already going away. Football is the key. The revenue from that sport is the key to keep a lot of sports alive. I think a lot of universities are going to be cutting these programs, but they're doing it a little too soon. I cannot fathom the idea of cutting these sports without at least reaching out to some of the people that have made your academics and your athletic programs successful financially, not asking for help.
Listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. You can find us on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. You want to get your thoughts in today. Also, 800-224-2004. Dan Wolkin's got a very good column today in USA Today, I want to point out. I talked earlier at the top of the hour about, look, what about college athletics in terms of coming back? We're seeing proposals in all sorts of sports, but where is the plan for college football, which is extremely important to the landscape of college athletics as a whole? Right, we're already seeing schools canceling other programs due to budget cuts that they're anticipating, shortfall in revenue that are going to come. Whether we have college football or not, right? Whether college football comes back in its full capacity or not, we know it's going to be financially different. We're not going to have 90,000 people, 100,000 people at stadiums, so there's going to be some revenue loss, significant revenue loss. We're also going to see cancellations of games if not every state is on the same page in terms of opening up. There's going to be a competitive imbalance between states and conferences that are going to be up and running and operating rather than other states and other areas of the country that have to remain locked down longer. So we're going to see schools say, look, we're not ready to play. So unfortunately, we're not going to be able to go to Penn State and play the Nittany Lions or down to Auburn to play the Tigers or whatever it is. So we might see a shortened season. We might see games canceled. We might see games that are not going to be able to be redone. But Dan Wolkin's column today is not really about that. What it is about is something that we are talking about in other sports. Major League Baseball, for example, is saying, here's our plan, right? Here we want to do this many games and in this type of divisional setting and this type of postseason, and this is the testing we're going to use, and this is how we're going to share revenue. And the union says, stop right there. How are we sharing revenue again? And they go, well, we wanted to do this. Oh, no, we're going to sit down and talk about this. NFL is going to go through the same thing. As the NFL says, here are some safety measures we're going to use to come back. You know that Demoris Smith and the Players Association is going to sit down and go, wait, hold on. How are we doing this again? Same thing with basketball. But where's the union for the college athletics? Where's the union for the college athletes that are saying, wait, you want us to do what again? You want us to come back and do what? How? When my safety is important to me and us, how are you keeping us safe? And how come we don't have a say in whether we want to return or not? Well, it's because they don't have a union. So they don't have a collective voice. The only thing they have is individual voices. And in a large talent pool, if you will, of teams, when they have 90-something players on the roster, it's hard to make your point, right? It's hard to say, I'm not comfortable with coming back to a facility unless this criteria is met. You can't just say facilities are open and it's just, let's hope for the best. We'd like to see a plan. Now, it's an interesting debate and it's an interesting argument because a couple of things come to mind immediately. Northwestern athletes tried to do this one time before, about 5 or 6 years ago. Northwestern athletes wanted to unionize. They wanted as a team. They didn't necessarily care about anybody in the Big Ten or the Big 12 or the Pac-12. They were saying, as a team, we would like to have a union. They went to the National Labor Board and actually proposed that they form a union, saying, we're essential employees to this university. And yet we don't have a collective voice in how we are employed by this school, given tuition, room and board, food, etc. But we don't have a say in how we are treated. We are forced to go to practice. We are forced to do this. We are forced to do that. And we don't get to say, hey, we don't really like that. Or we don't think that's fair. Or we don't like being treated in this manner. And there's no protection for us. We don't even get to say how we'd like to be treated if our playing career is cut short. Well, they almost pulled it off, but here's why it ultimately failed. It ultimately failed because if Northwestern, a private school, could unionize, well, the University of Georgia cannot. They're not a private institution. And there was a competitive imbalance. So now what do we have? And this is where I think this is fascinating. What do we have now? Well, because Furman is canceling football and baseball and lacrosse, because other programs, smaller non-revenue programs, are getting cut, what are we seeing? We're seeing the power of college football. We're seeing its financial power. We're seeing it on display. Schools are now saying, if we don't have football, look at what's going to have to get cut here. College coaches are taking pay cuts. We're already seeing some schools maybe having to furlough employees in the athletic department. Why? Because there's an uncertainty about college football. If there isn't a time for college athletes, college football players, to come together and to realize the enormous power they have, if they're not going to do it now, they're never going to do it. The name, image, and likeness thing that came through came through because there was this like underground push to do this and got approval through one state. And next thing you know, it was a domino effect that the NCAA said, okay, the genie is out of the bottle. Instead of putting the genie back in the bottle, let's just have our three wishes. Right? Instead, it was, well, we've got to get a hold of this thing. So if we're going to get a hold of this thing, let's try to lasso this in some sort of respectable way. Let's start putting some limitations on this, but let's try to control it because we're not going to turn it off. This is fascinating because if you're a college football player right now, you now realize there's some shots that you can start calling. I mean, look, they are not having any say in how they go back to performing. If you're a student, you have a kind of a say in how you want to, if you, whether you go back to campus or not. Maybe you pull out for a semester if you don't feel like you're comfortable with it. Maybe you take classes online. There are avenues in which, as a student at a particular university, you can still get your education or hold off your education because the decision is ultimately yours. There's nobody saying you have to come back. If you're a student athlete, if you play college football and they're saying it's so important and we got to get you back and here's how we're getting you back, you don't get to say, wait a minute, you're not doing enough testing. Or, hey, wait a minute, are we sure the facilities are safe? Oh, wait a minute, what are you doing when we actually get to practice? How much practice are we going to have? How much exposure to other student athletes are we going to have now? Is it going to be just like it used to be? How can it be just like it used to be? Right? Everything's changed. Now, the level of concern on this virus for young people is, I mean, my God, it differs from people, you know, for everybody, right? It depends, but in the end, it shouldn't matter. In the end, that shouldn't matter. What should matter is how comes football players, college football players, don't have a voice, don't have a way to sit at a table and say, no, we are not coming back just because you say so. We want to see exactly what you're doing. We want to see exactly how we're coming back. How much money are you putting into testing? How much money are you putting into us making sure our locker rooms are sanitized all the time? What are some of the rules? We can do this, but we can't do that. We can do this, but we shouldn't be doing that. And don't give me the whole, we don't share towels or don't high five or don't throw a football around without it being wiped down. Those are small measures. We want some larger measures. And Dan Wolken, who's been on the show a number of times, I think lays it out perfectly. Again, this is the time for college football players to finally say, here's a voice that you haven't heard. And I don't know how you put it together as quickly as you are going to have to put it together, but imagine at Clemson, if you could get 35 to 40 talented five-star, four-star recruits, level players, seniors all the way down, to say, we're not coming back until we see these things. So don't give us the Dabo speech about how it's all for one and one for all, and the name on the front is more important than the name on the back, and all these cliches for rah, rah, rah. Nah, we're not coming back until we see testing, sanitation, making sure everything's, you know, up and running, just making sure we feel safe. And we're just not going to take your word for it. I mean, if there was an underground push to finally get student athletes an opportunity to get money on however they want to use their name, image, and likeness, trust me, all it takes is for a Trevor Lawrence, all it takes is for a number of other players in college football to start speaking out about, you know what, the facilities are open, but I ain't going in. Until I see some real movement by my university to make it happen. But I wonder if that will actually take place. But at least it's an idea. All right, again on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we kick things off. It's Wednesday on SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, O'Reilly Auto Parts will help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier, so when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Now, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of brake best pads and two brake best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I do hope there is college football. I do hope some of these programs come back in some capacity. It breaks my heart when I see schools canceling non-revenue sports.
Yeah.
Because I know how important those things are to those kids.
Well, like I said, I mean, I went to a school where they canceled football to keep the non-revenue sports.
Yeah, right.
Because it was, you know, I mean, they weighed out the cost and it was, you know, football was just draining the athletic department.
Again, in some schools, it's not as a moneymaker like it is at other schools.
Yeah,
right?
But when you have like huge programs that may not be able to play this year, it's interesting. And I love the fact that you're bringing it up. I love the fact that you're, you know, talking about like, hey, we've heard from all these professional leagues. We even heard from NHL. You know, they have a plan in place.
Yeah.
Of what they're going to do, but we have no idea how. The only thing we've heard about college football so far is that Arizona's on board, California probably not.
And I think a lot of it is because there's not a real unity, right, with college football, for example. Everybody is their own little individual empire, and the SEC doesn't really care what the Pac-12 is doing. And the SEC has come out and said, look, if we have to do it alone, we have to do it alone. If we have to play against our own member institutions and that's it. You know, so what? If the Big Ten can't go, the Big Ten can't go.
Right.
So there isn't a feeling of unity where it's all for one, one for all kind of thing. Like the NFL can't say, well, the Patriots, they're going to have to cancel their season, and the Giants and the Jets, they won't be able to play. But, you know, Tampa, you can play, and Arizona, you can play, and, you know, that's not how it works. It's either everybody's playing, everybody's up and running, or nobody's up and running. But in college athletics, college sports, because there's such, not only the universities, but the conferences are like on their own islands at times. And the only time they're connected is interconference play and under an NCAA postseason. But if you're a SEC school, for example, and you want to play basketball, and there's no tournament, but you still want to play basketball because the conference tournament will be a big deal, you can. I mean, there's really nobody stopping you, right? Not, I mean, the NCAA could come in and say, stop, but you just go, all right, whatever. No, we're Alabama basketball is still going to play Vanderbilt. You know, we may not be able to play Michigan, but we'll play Vanderbilt for just something. And I think that imagine if you are, a football player going into this season and realizing, wait, look at what's going on without us. Look at what's going on without the thought of us.
Yeah. Or what if you were a football player who opted to forego the draft? Like you would have been a draft pick, but you know, you talked to your people and your people said, nah, you know what, go for another year. You'll probably get a higher draft position. What happens to those kids now that may not get drafted? Or I mean, there'll still be a draft, but I mean, what if there is no college football season?
Yeah, that's true. Like, what if you went back to play college to sort of get better, to work out, to have one more year of seasoning, and now there may not be a year, or if there is, it's not complete, or it's done piecemeal, and it's not kind of, you know, you're putting your, you know, yourself in a position where you may take a step back or two, right? You wanted growth, but you may actually take a step back or two.
Right, and the trickle-down is horrible. Because we already saw that the NCAA decided to take care of spring sports. You know, gave them another year of eligibility because their seasons were completely wiped out from them before they even could get started. What if the same thing happens in the fall? I mean, how does this work with high school recruiting?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, if you're going to bring back, if certain players can be brought back, or you want to bring them back, or do you just cut ties with some and go, hey, sorry, you know what? We got to give your scholarship to this 5-star recruit coming out of name your high school here.
It's so challenging because Pete Futek, who writes at College Football News, his site, you know, he's still doing these previews, but he every now and then he's touching on it, but there's really isn't anything concrete. It's hard to plan a course for a sport where it hasn't even gotten to a point where there's a discussion about, all right, listen, we're opening up facilities. Like I said earlier, the SEC is voting this week. Some other conferences are starting to talk about that same thing. June 1st, allowing voluntary workouts, not mandatory, but voluntary workouts to say, if you want to come and work out at our facility, you can. Okay, some schools will say, Tennessee, Phil Fulmer has said no. He thinks June 1st is way too soon. But all the other schools in the SEC are saying, no, we're kind of liking where this is going. It's a step in that direction. But as far as actually, okay, that's fine, a voluntary workout at the facility, okay, that's step one. That seems to be a different step than, and now we're going to get 100 of you guys in uniform on a field.
Yeah.
Right. Without any idea or what or a plan to what it's going to what that's going to look like. Are you going to take our temperature? Are you going to test us? What if there's one test? How long will practice be closed? What if five people test positive for this? What happens then? What if it's 10? What will it, you know, what will you do in terms of quarantine? Like, is a player going to get sent home? Does he have to? Does he stay in the dorm but isolated? What kind of medical care are we going to get? Like, there's all these questions that I would want to ask a university if I was a football player, especially if I knew I was going to be a top pick in the draft. If I knew my talent had me at a position where I could go to the NFL and be a round one selection or an early round two selection. I'd want to know these things, but what power do I have to say, wait, no, I don't like that. No, you're not taking temperature checks or you're not going to put money into testing. Nah, I don't know about this.
Not only that, but you know, all these coaches, administrators, the athletic department, they're all having to field questions from the parents too.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
Because these parents care. These parents are saying, hey, you know, you're taking care of my son right now. What are you doing to take care of him? You know, and not only are the players feeling these, you know, going to be having these questions, parents may be having more. And they may be hesitant. They may be saying, no, you know, I don't want Johnny to play. Right. The risk is too great. Then what happens?
If Blake Snell, who made a big stink about revenue, but could also say, but I also do want to make sure that there's safety measures in check. Why can't Trevor Lawrence?
Right.
Like, why? If you're allowing NBA players to say, yeah, we'll come back as long as this, and this are in place. Why can't a star college football player say the exact same thing? And say, well, you know what? Me and 30 of my friends are not showing up for day one of practice unless these things are implemented. And oh, by the way, we're starting to realize how important us being on campus is.
Can Trevor Lawrence organize that true Rudy moment?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Because we know that moment in Rudy where all the players laid down their jersey that happened. Joe Montana confirmed it. I remember.
Yeah, right. But yeah, no, that's a great point. I mean, can he organize something like that to say, what if Clemson's plan to return is horrific compared to Virginia's plan to return in the ACC? It better be all uniform, right? What if in the ACC, what if Virginia said, "Hey, when our kids get to back here in Charlottesville, we're going to do this, and this." And then Clemson's like, we're going to do this and this, but we don't have this and this. Like, if you're the ACC commissioner, you better be like, no, everybody's uniform on this. Like, no, we're not going to have you test every 3 days and you test every 7 days. Like, we're not doing that. Like, everybody's better be on the same page. But again, this is the opportunity for student athletes, especially football players, to say, okay, you know what? Here's what we're doing. Here's how we want to come back. You know, instead of just fielding a team, here's some of us who we know how important we are. And especially when you know that the stadiums are not going to be full. So you better make sure that every dollar and dime is going to be very, very important. When you know that you're not going to be able to get 90,000 anymore, you're going to get maybe 30 spaced out in the stadium, and you know that, hey, look, this also, you know, coaches are taking pay cuts, administrators are taking pay cuts. You've laid off people within the athletic department. You're canceling out baseball or track or golf or whatever it is, right? You know that this is important. I don't know. It's a fascinating thought, but again, we're ratcheting it up though. Here we are. It's May 20th, and you're going to start seeing a lot of movement and conversation about when you hit June. Watch June, because it's going to be, you know, it's going to be put up or shut up for a lot of these sports institutions in terms of coming up with game plans very quickly. Look, we make no joke about it. The clock is ticking on some of these sports. SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Do you know what I've noticed about the, since the rise of the popularity of that documentary, The Last Dance? Have you noticed that the Michael Jordan rookie card media has exploded?
Yep.
Like, all of a sudden, we're starting to see a grade 10 mint condition rookie card Michael Jordan is going to sell for this six-figure amount or five-figure amount.
Well, you heard his shoes. It was like the Air One shoes he wore his rookie year or something like that. A pair of those just sold for over $500,000.
Right. Yeah. But the rookie card is interesting because that's not a card your grandfather had. That's a card a lot of people could have had.
Yep.
Like our generation could have had easily in our collection.
Except and basketball cards. We didn't collect
basketball cards. I didn't collect basketball cards. Listen, this is how old I am. I collected basketball cards back in the early 80s when they were not cards per se. They were like slivers of cards. You would get a card, and the card had three cards on it in like little slivers that you could break off. And one in particular had Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and Julius Erving on it. It was a great card. But they were like little sliver cards, and you would just pull them off. That's the only cards I collected. So I don't know. I didn't realize the card. I'm so out of the baseball card / card game. I thought that whole industry collapsed. I didn't realize there was still a thing where you could make, like, if you have a Jordan rookie card, it would sell for $40,000, $50,000, $60,000. I thought that whole industry fell apart. I watched a documentary called Jack of All Trades on the baseball card industry, and its centerpiece it's about a kid. It's about a kid who's a child actor whose father owned a when he was a kid growing up, his father owned a baseball card store in Canada, and it was very popular. And his father got into the boom and right out before the bust. And there's a little bit in there's a family dynamic part of the story that's not really that I didn't really enjoy. But I did enjoy the business of the baseball card Upper Deck and the Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. And they were talking about how, like, they printed out zillions of these things. And what made cards worth money was that they were rare. Because everybody who grew up in like the 50s, like my father, for example, he had baseball cards, a lot of baseball cards. But what happens is you get older, they're just sitting in boxes. So what happens when you get older and you're not collecting them anymore and you move on? Your grandmother throws them away.
Yep.
Right? So she throws them all away. Everybody was doing that. Everyone was like, you want these? Nah, throw them away.
Listen, I've been going through boxes. It's been our quarantine project to fully move into our house.
Right.
And I'm stumbling across a bunch of baseball cards of mine. I don't even know what to do with them.
I don't know what to do with mine.
Because
either.
I have cards. I mean, it's like, do I go through? I need to get like a book or, one of those price guides to find out which cards are worth keeping. Because I have some cards that I know that are worth like a nickel. I'm like, why am I holding on to this?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. All you really want, you want the big ones, the big money guys. Yeah, but what limit do I set? Do I set it at $5, $20? Because I know I don't have anything bigger than probably $20, $30.
But here's the other thing. Let's say you have a card worth $20,
yeah.
right? Like, where do you take it? Who gives you money for it? They're not going to give you $20 for it. They're going to give you like $8 for it so they can sell it for $20. Is anybody still into the game enough to like when you're talking about handing over cash for an item? Like, I'm going to want to sell that item. I'm not going to want to keep it. So is somebody willing to give you $8 for it, $6 for it? It's like Pawn Stars, right? What do you got? Oh, I got an old Revolutionary War rifle. Oh, what do you want for it? I want $50,000. And he's like, well, it's authentic, but I could probably get $60,000, so I'll give you $20,000. I got to store it. I got to make a profit. I got to, you know, put it up for sale. I got to... Right. So even if you had those kind of cards, is anybody in the card game enough? But I notice with these Jordan cards, it's like I'm seeing more articles. I'm seeing more people on Twitter going, I have this. I bought it for $60 or back in, you know, a couple of years ago, and or I bought it for $100 or $600. And now it's worth $500,000 or now it's whatever it is. And I thought, wow, I didn't realize the card game was still moving along like it, with that kind of money.
I don't think we all kind of learned our lesson about it. I mean, I don't know if it still is. I think
Darren Rovell seems to think it is because he keeps posting like a grade 9 Michael Jordan right. card well, is like $70,000.
Here's the thing. Darren Rovell to me sounded like he seemed like he was on top of his game like 2 years ago.
And now
all of a sudden he grasps at any trend that you could possibly imagine and he throws this outlandish thing out there.
Yeah.
And it's almost like he's becoming a form of a Skip Bayless Rovell.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Like, I see this one guy on Twitter. It says, selling my PSA 9 mint-graded Michael Jordan going for $10,000 to $12,000 on eBay.
They, you know, coronavirus right? times are tough.
Maybe so, I guess.
Can't take it with you.
Right?
Or maybe you can, but...
Yeah. You know, but again, I under look. It's so simple. Like we were talking when you talked about. All right, so you had a dad in the 50s and 60s. He had Mantle cards and right Roger Maris and all these stars. And then his, you know, the mother threw them away. Grandma doesn't have it anymore. You're collecting cards. You're gonna do better. You're gonna save them. You're gonna put them in sleeves. Well, here's what happens. Everybody's doing that, right? Everybody learned the lesson of all the grandmothers that threw them away in the 50s and 60s. We're not going to do that.
Yep.
So now you have the generation that grew up in the 80s hearing that story. I mean, I heard that story. My father and my Uncle David had a whole bunch of baseball cards my grandmother threw away. Right now, so we were kids. We were like, we're not going to throw away our cards. So what do we end up as adults? Boxes and boxes of useless cards.
Right.
Right?
That's what we ended up with. Everybody has.
That everybody has.
Listen, I have, I think... My prized card that I have is the Billy Ripken card.
Right. Oh, yeah. The famous Billy Ripken.
With the profanity on the barrel of the bat.
Right.
Right. And I'm excited that I have it. But every time I go to look, it's only worth like $40, $50.
Where do you go? Do you still go to Beckett's?
Well, that's yeah. Is there any other place?
No, there's no other place. Like Beckett's
is the only place.
How did Beckett's determine that your 1987 Bob Horner baseball card was 35 cents? They listed every card. Like, how did they determine that? Were they making that up, or did they check the stock trade every day? Was there a baseball card trade? Like, well, this week the Bob Horner card is up a nickel. You can get 45 cents on that thing. Or, I mean, how do they know? It's almost like a scam. But man, we bought those Beckett magazines all the time. Hey, check out the value of these cards, man. I'm saving and I'm putting together. My brother was notorious for that. He was a lot better at it than me. I mean, he really was into it. He was locking those things down. But, I mean, could I have gotten a Michael Jordan card back in when I was a kid? Yeah, I could have. I mean, there was a pharmacy down the road from my house in my little town that was selling basketball cards back in the day when Jordan was a rookie. Why didn't I gobble that up? Why didn't I think basketball cards could be valuable someday? Why didn't I put those in sleeves?
Well, the other day I stumbled upon, I guess I had like almost like a season of football cards.
And what year?
I'm trying to think. I guess it would be early 90s because I have a Michael Irvin rookie card.
Oh, nice.
and you know, alongside like a Thurman Thomas rookie card or your super rookie or whatever. And I'm just looking at them like, okay, are these worth anything?
Yeah.
They're a football card. And I put them in like, you know, the that sleeve paper. You know, remember you buy those plastic sleeves that you can put in a binder, but it like holds like 9 cards at a time.
Right, exactly.
So they're protected.
Yeah, sure.
But is that worth anything?
Well, that's the thing. You know, it's. I remember years ago, I stumbled upon a card site, and they showed a Joe Montana rookie card, right? And they said, this is valuable. Now, here's the thing. I knew I had that card somewhere. I knew I had in my possession at one point, only because it was the only way I knew that it was because the card looked familiar. And the only way it looked familiar was because I held it in my hand. When I saw it on my computer screen, I went, oh, I know I had that card in the early 80s. I know I had that card. Can't find it. Can't find it amongst the piles and piles of cards that we have. But even if I found it, some collector would go, that's grade 2. That's awful. It's like shriveled up and old. And so it would be worthless. But I remember, but the cards I saved that are still in sleeves that are in my son's room, I don't know what to do with them if I found, I don't know where to take them.
Right.
Like remember when there were card stores everywhere when I was a kid.
No, that's true.
There was always like 2 guys that ran a card store.
It was
a comic book card store.
I want to say it was as popular, card stores were as popular as nail salons and strip malls.
Yeah, sure.
It seemed like every strip mall had a card store that you can go to.
Yep. Yeah, I remember my brother and I went to a card convention once in Concord, New Hampshire. And my brother, my parents were coming, they were coming back to town. And my brother called him up on a payphone and said, hey, I need you to bring me some money from my room. And my mother said, what do you want? He goes, there's a $20 bill. And my mother freaked out that he was going to spend 20 bucks, which was good money back then, on baseball cards. And he was like, no, I just need money to buy this thing. And my parents were smart. They were like, no. I know where this is going to head. You're going to buy these things, put them in sleeves, and then never do nothing with them from now on. Like that. But
yep.
At least buy something fun that you can actually use and play around, play with, and have a good time. Like you're a kid buying cards, you're sticking in sleeves, hopefully that when you're 60, they might be worth $30. And it's true. But again, these Michael Jordan cards are going for 5 figures. Right. But I'm like, well, there's got to be some industry that's still, there's got to be some aspect of this industry that is still kicking around, giving us the dream that we had when we were collecting them in the first place. That we were just going to be like, that's 5,000, that's 6,000, this is 10,000. Just keep the calculator rolling. These things are going to be flying. Just keep them going. How much do I have, Mr. Collector? Well, right now you're up to 732,614. Okay, here's another book of cards. Keep them going. And that never occurred. Never occurred. I have like 7 Mark McGwire Olympic baseball cards in sleeves from the 84 Olympics in Los Angeles.
I stumbled upon a site. It said the 10 most valuable 1989 Fleer baseball cards.
All right.
Right? Because I'm just curious because I know I do have that Billy Ripken, you know, profanity card. And the first sentence on this article, midway through, it says, brief disclaimer, most of the cards on this list will generally not be worth anything. That in order for this card to be worth anything, it needs to have a PSA 10 rating, right?
Right.
So if my card, which I know is not a PSA 10, but if it was a PSA 10, which is near flawless, it's probably one of those hard plastic things that are sealed.
Right.
It would be worth $150.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So you have to get them in like
encased in like bulletproof glass.
Right. Oh, God.
But mine is probably more along the lines of, $10.
Man.
It's kind of a bummer.
Well, we used to say like, well, even if my grandmother didn't throw away my father's cards, they'd all be wrinkled, like bending and warped, torn up, probably putting spokes of bicycles and all that. It wouldn't be, you know, some collector would go, yeah, this is a nice Mickey Mantle. It's torn to pieces. I'll give you $1.
right? I mean, these things had to, like, you had to be in 1952. You had to be smart enough to realize, hey, this we're going to just encase this in epoxy. Yeah, they're just going to put this thing, you know, make sure it's lined. Kids were taking these cards and throwing them around, flipping them, putting them on bicycle wheels.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody was keeping them nice and neat and clean. It's nuts. All right. It's SB Nation Radio. It's Wake Up Call. Thanks for joining us. We'll get to your tweets coming up next on SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, again, thanks for joining us in this Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So we were talking about the Michael Jordan, the explosion of popularity in the Michael Jordan rookie cards now that are going around. I really do, I hate to keep bringing this up, but I really do. It is disappointing to see something that was so popular to do not come up. It felt like the whole thing was a scam, right? Like, yeah, sure, a Michael Jordan card in perfect condition is a five-figure thing today, but a lot of kids collected cards and saved those cards and spent money on sleeves and all that other stuff, thinking that some of these were going to be worth money, and it all fell apart. I mean, it fell apart. For the most part, it did. Sure, you're right. They're fine. There are cards here or there that have value to some collector. They still have that ability. But man, when you were collecting and you saved them and you thought it was just going to be this windfall in 20 or 30 years. I'm at the age now I thought about 12-year-old me was going to be just
swimming in it.
Swimming in cash.
Yep.
Right?
No, I mean, I remember, I think the most expensive card I ever bought, I think I spent like either $10 or $15 on a Fred McGriff rookie card.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That
sure.
I'm pretty sure isn't worth $10 or $15 now.
I spent good money on Robin Yount cards.
There you go.
From Milwaukee Brewers. I still have them. There's still a two pages of sleeves worth Robin Yount cards. Robin Yount, if you're out there, I apparently was a big fan when I was 13.